The battle lines are drawn.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Immigration laws in this country are probably going to change, but there is a wide gulf between the sides in this battle. The House has passed legislation that would criminalize illegal immigrants. Today, the Senate begins debating a bill that includes the immigrant-friendly guest worker program. Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
The bill would allow the estimated 12 million illegal immigrants in the U.S. a chance to earn citizenship. But John Keeley with the Center for Immigration Studies says even if this bill passes in the Senate, it's sure to get squelched in the House.
I just don't see that chamber signing off at a time where the American public is dead set against all of these proposals.
The House's bill doesn't include a worker program, and it would erect a 700-mile fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. It would also make living illegally in the U.S. a felony. A recent poll found nearly 60% of Americans don't like Bush's immigration policy, including the guest worker program. Keeley says many Americans feel it would be unfair to those who legally apply for citizenship.
This is tantamount to line jumping. There are millions of people around the world waiting exceedingly patiently to come lawfully to the United States.
The bill is expected to go to the Senate for a vote this week. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
You know what happens when you buy Chinese goods? China makes American dollars. The country is storing foreign currency at an astounding rate. Today, a government-owned newspaper said China now has the biggest currency reserves in the world, $850 billion and counting. Jocelyn Ford has more from Beijing.
Economists like Stephen Green at Standard Chartered Bank say you haven't seen anything yet.
The pace is continuing fast, $20 to $25 billion a month. So we think by the end of the year we'll have surpassed $1 trillion.
How fast China hits the trillion-dollar mark depends on whether the U.S. and Europe continue to buy up Chinese goods at a ferocious rate. A lot of the foreign money that China earns from exports ends up back in the United States, invested in U.S. Treasury bonds and other assets. Green says Beijing is trying to diversify a bit more away from U.S. dollar assets, but it's still an important buyer of U.S. treasuries.
And it's doing that because it's interested in keeping its assets in a safe currency. So we don't see any phase change in investment policy.
Analysts estimate about three-quarters of China's record reserves are invested in U.S. treasuries. That comes to about $600 billion. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
If you've been thinking about buying a hybrid car, Toyota's got a new one coming out in May. It's the Camry Hybrid, and the car maker's going to sell it for about $26,000. That's $5,000 less than the rival Honda Accord Hybrid, but the Accord does have a more powerful engine. The Japanese automakers are trying to get down the cost of hybrid systems. The Camry is still $5,000 more than the gasoline-only version. Men and shopping go together like women and... Well, I'd better be careful. But the women's shopping magazine Lucky is a huge success. It has a million subscribers. Its counterpart, a male magazine called Cargo, has decided to fold just 2 years in. You can feel the tension on Wall Street as investors wait for the Fed's announcement today on interest rates. Monday, the Dow dropped about 30 points to 11,250. The NASDAQ gained 2 to 2,315. And the S&P 500 fell a point to wind up at 1,301. This is Marketplace. PC sales seem to be bipolar by nature. They were way off earlier this decade. Then they grew a scorching 15%. Now what? Here's Dan Gretsch.
After a bubble and a bust, the PC industry might have finally found a middle ground. Research firm IDC said Monday that growth in computer shipments will cool off, but they'll still grow a healthy 10% a year. IDC analyst Lauren Loverde.
From our perspective, this is a pretty consistently growing market.
PC makers may have finally found a way to avoid a cyclical dip in shipments, said Wayne Rausch with MIT's Technology Review.
They realize they've pretty much saturated the markets in North America and Europe. It's really in places like Malaysia or India that a lot of the growth is going to come from.
Another thing keeping the outlook on PCs sunny is next year's release of Vista, the new operating system from Microsoft. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics, business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. It's a new season at the United Kingdom's best-known theaters. You can catch Prokofiev's Betrothal in a Monastery and the world premiere of the play Realism at the Edinburgh International Festival. But perhaps the best drama in London was last week's very realistic presentation of the British budget. Here's commentator David Wells.
Parliament isn't technically part of London's West End, but the political drama that unfolded there last week was the best show in town. That's when Gordon Brown, Chancellor of the Exchequer, revealed the details of the UK budget. In the US, politicians tend to speak directly to the cameras. In the UK, they launch witty jabs and sledgehammer blows at each other across a table. For Americans, it's political blood sport. Mr. Brown did as politicians are wont to do, speaking about how a huge sum of money would solve all the UK's ills. The British will make public education as good as private, clean the air, make everyone richer in the future. While President Bush gave a similar speech in February, the two governments portray their budget documents very differently. The nearly $3 trillion U.S. budget is so big that it's hard to grasp. It tends to be discussed in terms of large subjects, such as defense spending. Those are hard to put into context of everyday life, and President Bush doesn't appear to want to try. The U.K. budget, at about $1 trillion, is also hard to fathom. But the politicians help by including enough common man numbers that the media can quickly create calculators so people can figure out how the budget affects their daily lives. One reason the budget is important for the average Nigel, especially this year, is A-Day. On April 6, new rules come into effect that change the way UK citizens can invest for their retirement. Mr. Brown had previously decided to allow people to put their hard-earned cash into exotic investments. The day after the budget was released, the government put an addendum out to the budget on the web detailing what these were. Prisons were deemed okay, but beach huts were not. The reason? Properties that don't serve a serious social purpose are excluded. Clearly, anyone who has read through a budget should realize that a beach hut serves a serious social purpose, relaxation. Finally, and not unimportantly for this island nation, consider booze. A pint of beer received 1 pence of extra duty, and a glass of wine got an extra 4 pence. Champagne stayed the same, presumably, pundits remarked, so Mr. Brown could celebrate when he was made Prime Minister. Mr. Brown was presenting his 10th budget. That's an apropos number, given that he's hoping that by this time next year, he'll be Prime Minister and living in number 10 Downing Street. Once there, he'll probably care about loftier things than the duty on a pint of beer or whether a pensioner can invest in a beach hut. But that'll be sad. President Bush and future U.S. presidents would do their nation proud if they would learn the nitty-gritty details of budgets. After all, budgets tie leaders more closely to those who elect them. Politics may be theater around the world, but it's always good to remember the play has minor characters, too.
David Wells is an editor for the Financial Times and comes to us by special arrangement with that newspaper. Your thoughts are always welcome. Email us, letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
If you're planning to have a baby, you gotta.